Washington, old school, 90s, and now. Anchored by the Steve Harvey Morning Show. 96.3 WHUR. Sounds like Washington.
Hey, everybody. Listen, our special guest this morning, as promised, is a reverend. He's a civil rights activist. He's also the host of MSNBC's Politics Nation, and he's the founder of the National Action Network. Now, he's been on the front lines for 50 years? 50 years just leading the fight against racial prejudice and injustice. And his path was laid before him when he became an ordained minister at around 10 years old. Well, he's coming to us right now, everybody, this morning from Houston, Texas, where he's preparing to deliver the eulogy for the final homegoing services for Brother George Floyd, who lost his life tragically at the hands of a Minnesota policeman. Ladies and gentlemen, please, he's a family all day with us. Please welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show my man, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yes, sir.
We love you, Reverend Al.
Reverend
morning,
Al.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
Now, Reverend, I can't tell you how many conversations we've had like this over the years. But I don't know. This one seems like it has a different tone to it. Kind of walk us through a little bit of this. How are you feeling about the overall tone of everything that's happening right now?
Well, you know, Steve, as you said, I've done a lot of these, led a lot of the movements around them. But I am more hopeful than I've ever been, even though this is as tragic as anything I've ever seen. And the reason I'm more hopeful is I see more different type of people out in the streets marching. We've been leading some of them, organizing some of them, just joining others. And in some cities, I've seen more whites than blacks. Mm. And I think that people have finally seen that this whole question of police brutality has to be dealt with. It doesn't make all police bad, doesn't even make most bad. But those that are bad need to be dealt with. And I think what happened is with everyone in shelter in place, locked down, and couldn't watch sports because all of the professional sports was down, everybody had to watch this video over and over. And they just said, no, this is crazy. This can't be happening. And with the pandemic having locked them down, people just broke out and said, no, we have to stop this. And it's all over the world. They're marching in London. They're marching in France. People have come to terms with the fact that it's time to deal with the criminal justice system. So I've said to the family, I did the first funeral memorial in Minneapolis last Thursday, and then I'm doing the one today. And I've said to them that as heartbreaking as it is, I think that they may be able to settle on the fact that their loved one, their brothers, their father, their uncle may have been the tipping point of how we deal with this issue, if there's any comfort to them at all. And I'm glad that I'm seeing what I'm seeing. I don't agree with any of the violence, and it's been minimal. 98% of the people have been doing peaceful marching and have really shaken the world.
Mm. Wow.
That's true.
You know, I feel exactly that way. It does seem a lot more hopeful right now. What do you think? Because let's talk about police reform for a second. What do you think what policies or ideals should we be placing on the table for police so we can get the policed? Because that seems to be a problem to me. Have you thought about any ideas or any concept that we might want to put on the table when we're talking about reforming police policies and things?
No, we have specifics at Nash Action Network and with these families. In fact, yesterday we met with Joe Biden on it, and we'll talk to everybody about it. One, we need to end these no-knock laws where police can just break in a no-knock warrant, which led to the killing of Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, a few weeks ago. We need to end that. We need to have residency requirements. When police live in the cities that they're policemen, they tend to know the kids, especially in small towns. Their wives know the wives. Their kids play football. So a residency requirement. And we need to have where police records are just as available as civilian records. If you or I get arrested, they get our yellow sheet out. Police have shielded backgrounds, so we don't know whether a policeman has had infractions with the public before, if they've been accused of abuse before. The officer that put his knee on George Floyd's neck had some 13 to 18 complaints about excessive force. He should have never been on the force. That should be made public. The Congressional Black Caucus and the Democratic Caucus came out with bills yesterday proposing some of these things. So the policy is there. We're doing a big march August 28th, bringing all these forces together, the anniversary of the March on Washington, going to Washington to raise policies. Because what we don't need is all of the drama not leading to anything. What made the civil rights movement of the 60s historic is it led to the Civil Rights Act of 64, then the Voting Rights Act of 65, from the fights from Eric Garner in Staten Island 6 years ago and Ferguson to now. This must lead to law and policy. Otherwise, we're just venting. And people don't care if we're angry, but they do care if you change the power equation.
Wow. You know something, Reverend Sharpton, if I might offer this, because I know you're one of our top leaders that can bring about policy. Here's the thing that I was thinking about the other day. If police laws, because here's what's happening. I think the police do so many things without consequence. Hey, everybody. Reverend, hold on 1 second. Sit tight. Okay. We'll be back with more from Reverend Al Sharpton right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, it's your girl, Shirley. Know what's trending in my social circle? Those little bladder leaks that come out of nowhere when I laugh or exercise.